All right, so today we're going to do something a little bit different to start off our message, and I'm seeing how I can section things off here in a balanced group of people. We might be able to make this work. I think we can take from about this. You'll be moving. Oh, no. She's gonna sit with her friend. She said, "I'm gonna go sit with Jazz." So we're gonna go from where Tammy was formerly sitting, and we'll go back here. So we've got quadrant. We got one. Your group number one, right here. Okay. Yes. Group number one. Group number two. And we'll just go clockwise here. So you guys are group number three, and you guys are group number four. Okay. I'm gonna do a little something here this morning, and I'm going to start you guys off in groups, and if you've been a part of this before somewhere, you know it's kind of cool. We're going to create a storm here in the room, okay? So you're going to want to free up your hands, free up your lap. Make sure you got hands and lap free. Okay, so group number one, and we're going to have to get some practice here because we're going to have to make this quick. Okay, so the practice, okay, just start rubbing your hands together. And you guys keep doing it. Whatever you start doing, you just keep doing what you're doing. Okay, so you guys think you can do it quick? Think we can build a storm quick? All right, now, key part of that, once we get the storm built, we're going to start reading a scripture, then we're going to build the storm, then we'll continue reading a scripture, and then, when I hold my hand up, stop whatever you're doing, okay? Just stop dead. All right, can you do that? All right, and when you guys are clapping, and you raise the clapping up big and nice and big, then you guys can add some shh in there with your mouth. Get some wind noise in there. Okay, and this will not be on the screen. I'm just going to read this to you. So picture this story. So on that day, when the evening came, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose. It's got to rise quick. A great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already swept and swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and they said, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" He woke up. And he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Wouldn't that be amazing to be there? The wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe, and they said to one another, "Who then is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him." Pray with me. Father, we are so very thankful of who you are and that you sent your son to us. Father, we lift those up that we just mentioned on our prayer list. Lord, that you continue to be with them. Lord, we ask that you be with us right now as we open your word, as we dive into the subject of peace. Father, help us to open our mind and our hearts to receive what you have for us today, that our lives would be changed, that we would be changed. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we talked about a message of hope that the gospel message is a message of hope, a message of love. Shane shared with us last week, and that message, the message is a message of new beginnings. And this week, a message of peace. One of the prophecies that was a prophecy years and years and years before Jesus came about the birth of Jesus is found in Isaiah chapter 9. It says, "For unto us a child is born." How many of you guys recognize that? "Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Christmas, the celebration of when Jesus comes to earth. For unto us a child is born. And one of Jesus' prophesied titles is Prince of Peace. A prince who's the son of a king. It's the son of a king. Jesus, who is the son of the king. Prince of Peace. Peace. You know, sometimes that word, it sounds like it belongs in a fairy tale. It sounds like it belongs in some sort of fantasy or fiction, because we don't see much of peace in the real world, do we? Is there a peace that exists in the nonfiction realm? Things around us, they're just so filled with turmoil. Chaos and disorder are all around us. That's not peace. Stress and worry. We stress and worry about our health or our jobs or our finances. Frustration and discord in our relationships. Sometimes it's our work relationships. Sometimes it's our friends, our neighbors. Or even sometimes it's the relationships right inside our own home. And they can be filled with frustration and discord. With your spouse. With your kids. If you're living at home with your parents. No one likes that. That's not peace. Not when that frustration and discord is in your work relationships and your friends and your home. It just doesn't seem like there's a place you can get away from that some days. Fighting, disagreements, fear, hate, hatred, wars, that's not peace. But that's the world we live in. That's what's all around us. That's what we find in our lives. And that's what we find even inside us. So can peace be a real thing? Is it really possible that someone can have peace? It seems far-fetched to say, but yes. The answer is yes. Is it realistic? Absolutely. Peace is a real thing, and it is available for all of us. That title was given to Jesus, and it was not given to him in the form of hyperbole or exaggeration. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. That's what he came to earth to do, to give us that Christmas morning years and years and years and years ago. Let's read that passage again, Isaiah 9:6. Read this with me. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." The gospel story is a message of peace. Think about the core reason why Jesus came. What was the core reason why Jesus came? Save us. Salvation. Let's go and write this down. Salvation at its base level gives peace. Salvation at its base level gives peace. We don't have to worry about what will happen to us when we die. There's a lot of peace that comes along with that. Eternal peace. In November, we talked for a couple of Sundays about King David. Justin was here, and he shared with you about the good side of King David's life, and I got the bad half of King David's life. But we got a chance to be reminded of some of the stories that are associated with King David. David, he had one of the most unpeaceful lives of many of the people that we see written about in the Bible. I mean, it's just his life. You would not have taken David's life and considered it synonymous with peace. And you would have picked some other character if you were going to say, find a Bible character that really knew peace. David's life was full of things that weren't peaceful. You look at David's life, his life was full of things like the things that we just mentioned. Turmoil, chaos and disorder, stress and worry, frustration and discord in his relationships, fighting, disagreements, fear, hate, hatred, and war. All of those were part of David's life. Yet, David, who's responsible for a lot of the Psalms in the book of Psalms, you see the word peace show up in the Psalms 13 times among the 150 Psalms. So throughout the message today, we are going to be looking at a number of different quotes from that book, from the book of Psalms, where it talks about peace and how peace can be gained. And we're going to be using that in connection with this story of Jesus calming the storm. So quotes from the book of Psalms, like the first one here that we're going to use, it connects salvation and peace. Psalm 85, I had that backwards in my face. 85, 7 through 8 says, "Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation." Now, some of you guys might recognize another word in there, unfailing love. This is one of the 26 verses that we talked about 3 weeks ago. Remember the little gray sheet? It's out there at the information center if you guys want to take that challenge. Memorizing a verse from the book of Psalms that talks about God's unfailing love, this is one of those verses, one of the 26 verses. So, "Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation." And then he continues in verse 8, "I will listen to what God, the Lord, will say." He promises what? Peace to his people, his saints, but let them not return to folly. So salvation, it brings peace. Salvation gives peace. Think about the passage that we read earlier, Jesus calming the storm. Who initiated the idea to go to the other side of the lake? Whose idea was that? Jesus' idea. It was Jesus' idea. And the disciples took Jesus with them in their boats. What does your boat look like today, this morning? Is Jesus in your boat? Is he in your life? Have you invited him in? Have you let Jesus aboard your boat? Have you let him in your heart? Because if you haven't, no wonder you don't have peace. He's the Prince of Peace. How is the Prince of Peace going to bring peace into your life when he is not allowed into your life? What happens? You know, we're going to be talking about storms. Let's bypass all of the life storms that you've had, all that you're going to have. Let's go all the way to the very end and just this proverbial, you know, symbol of your life, this boat. What happens when that boat sinks? When it's all done, there's no more storms, there's no more nothing, there's no more sailing, and it's done, it's over, your life has finished. What happens then? If Jesus is not in your boat, then that is not a peaceful thought. If Jesus is not in your life, that's not something to look forward to. That's something to dread and fear. But if Jesus is in your boat, if Jesus is in your life, then we have a peace about death. Death is a peaceful thought. Peace with your eternal existence. That's a big deal. And that's one of the core things that Jesus came to bring. Jesus brought salvation. He freed us from Satan's grasp. Paul says in Romans chapter 16 that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Let's leave that verse up there for a second. Is that verse ironic to anyone other than me? Look at that. Isn't that hilarious? The God of peace will soon crush Satan. It's so different. It doesn't belong. That doesn't sound like a God of peace. That's violent. That's rough. The God of peace will soon crush Satan. You know, it's peaceful for those who are being saved from Satan's grasp. It's peaceful for those who are being rescued. It's not peaceful for Satan, and it shouldn't be. Jesus came to earth to offer salvation, and he will crush the head of the serpent and set us free from Satan's control and influence, and that brings peace. And that is a huge deal. Eternal peace with Jesus. So with salvation comes a relationship with God, and that's another way that Jesus is the source of our peace, that he is the Prince of Peace in our life. He allows us to have a relationship with our Maker, with our Creator, with God. So let's write that down. A relationship with God results in peace. Jesus had a relationship with God, didn't he? Such that he called God his Father, which would have been a very strange thing. We're kind of used to it because for 2,000 years now, we've been trying to get in the habit of calling God our Father. So that's what Jesus told us to call him, that we have a relationship now with him. Before that, that would have just been a crazy thought. Jesus called him his Father. He had a relationship with him. Jesus got away and he talked with God on a regular basis. They shared. He prayed with him and he listened to him. He had a relationship with God. Back in the story of Jesus calming the storm, when the storm was huge and big, what was Jesus doing? He was sleeping. He was sleeping. He could do that because he had a relationship with God. He could do that. He could be at peace even in the midst of a life-threatening storm. I mean, these guys, at least four, and it could be more, but at least four of the disciples were fishermen. We know that is a fact. And they fished on this very same lake. And they come to Jesus saying, we're going to die. This is a life-threatening event here, and you're sleeping. They would have known the difference. They would have sailed that lake in the midst of all sorts of different conditions. And for them to wake him up, it shows this is a big deal. And Jesus, yet, he's sleeping. Because he had a relationship with the Father. He had a relationship with God. He knew that God cared for him. He knew that God loved him. He knew that God was going to take care of him and bring him safely because he had a relationship. Wouldn't you like to sleep peacefully through life storms? A relationship with God can make that happen. Just even saying that, it sounds kind of like an infomercial. Would you like to sleep peacefully through life storms? And it sounds like that because it seems so far-fetched, so far out of reach. And we, even sitting here in church as believers, it's so hard to grasp that and say, yeah, you know what? That is truth. That is real. And it is. That can happen. A relationship with God can make that happen. Think about what being in a relationship with the creator of everything would do for your peace category in your life. God's in charge of everything. David, who definitely, people were trying to kill David, okay? You want to try and get into David's life a little bit and try and figure out, okay, David might have had, no. David lived in fear of his life. And on the good side of his life and on the bad side of his life. It didn't matter. You look at any point in David's life, and there's someone in there trying to do harm to David. David writes in Psalm 4:8, he says, I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. David could write that because he had a relationship with God. And he knew that God was going to be his safety. He knew that God was going to be his security. People were trying to kill him, and yet this relationship with God allowed David to lie down and sleep in peace. In Psalm 29, another psalm that's accredited to David, it says, the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. What a crazy example. What a picture to bring up. I mean, he's writing to people that would have really, I mean, they would have made an immediate connection. For us, we're like, the flood. Oh, the flood. You know, we have to take the bypass to the nurseries that are all decorated with Noah's Ark and then go to how just this mass massacre of all of the world. It wasn't this pretty little thing we have in our nurseries. It was an awful event. And David says, even in the midst of, let me think of the most chaotic, worst time of all of history, the flood. Even in the time of the flood, God sat enthroned. Even in a time when things looked like they were out of control and chaos, God was in charge of that. Even in the time of that, the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people, and the Lord blesses his people with peace. The New American Standard and the New Revised Standard versions of the Bible, they give this psalm a title. And the title they give to this psalm is The Voice of the Lord in the Storm. Is Jesus in your boat? If he is, shouldn't you have peace even amidst the storms? Shouldn't you be able to experience peace because you have a relationship with God? If Jesus isn't in your boat, think of what peace that would bring if he were. How well do you sleep at night? Wouldn't you like to be blessed with peace? That comes from a relationship with God. So there are two ways that God gives us peace through Jesus. We have the eternal peace, the peace of salvation, and we have peace that accompanies a relationship with him. But then we have a part in experiencing peace also. We have to exert some effort. It's not all one way. We have to do some things. So let's go and write this down. Seek peace through following God's ways. We're told to seek peace or pursue it. We're going to read a verse that says that in a minute. Following God means following his ways. Before the storm at sea, it was Jesus' idea to go to the other side. The disciples, they invited Jesus into their boats. It was their boats, but it was Jesus' idea. It was Jesus' direction and destination. It wasn't the direction and destination of the boat owners. Are you following me here? See, it might be your boat. It might be your life. But when you invite Jesus in, he has to be the captain. He has to be in charge of the destination and the direction of your boat. He has to be in charge of the choices you make and the things that you decide to do because he's captain now, not you. That's what being Lord of your life means. That's what it means by submitting yourself to him. When you invite him in, you're not just inviting him in for the safety and security. You're not going to get the safety and security unless he's Lord, unless he's captain. Let's write this down. Walking in God's ways will naturally result in internal peace. It's peace inside. Internal peace. So we've got eternal peace through salvation, and now we've got internal peace, peace inside of us. You won't always avoid the external storms, but you do have the opportunity to be at peace with your own decisions and your own actions all day long, every day, all year long. That's a big deal. David of all people knew both whys of this road. David knew what it was like to make decisions where he was following God's ways and God was his Lord. And he knew the peace associated with that, the peace that came from that. We see that in the good sections of David's life and the good things that David does. He experiences that. And so he can speak about that. He can also speak about the other. He can speak about the absence of peace when you reject God's ways and you go your ways. He knew both roads very well. And David writes in Psalm 34, he says, turn from evil and do good. And here's where that note came from, the seek peace through God, to following God's ways. He says, seek peace and pursue it. That's such an aggressive word, pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. Don't just passively let it happen to you. Yes, God will bless you with peace, but you also have to seek it. You have a part in it too. Seek peace and pursue it. Another writer in the book of Psalms, and this is not one of the Psalms that's accredited to David, he says, great peace have they who love your law. I think that one was written by Yoda. I have to say that very slowly to make sure I'm reading it right. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Isaiah, who is writing to a country that was down this road severely, just making all sorts of bad decisions, not following God's ways, following their own ways. And he writes, the fruit of righteousness will be what? Peace. So if you don't have peace, it's a pretty good chance that you're not making righteous decisions. Peace inside your life. We're going to make a distinction between the two. I'm talking about internal peace right now. If that's not there, you need to check where the righteousness category is there. Where are you on making decisions? Whose ways are you following? Yours or God's righteous ways? Because his ways will bring righteousness. The fruit of righteousness is peace. Paul in the New Testament, he writes in Romans chapter 8, he says, the mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life. And that would be enough to make this contrast, these two, The life of the sinful man is death. The life of the controlled by the Spirit is life. But he adds this. It's like, you just need to have this little extra. Paul wants to make sure we get it, that it's life. It's not just life. It's life and what? Peace. It's life and peace. The mind that is controlled by the Spirit. So walking in God's ways will always result in peace within yourself, knowing that you did the right thing. There's no guilt there when you're walking that way. There's no second guessing. There's no worries. There's no fear. There's no inner turmoil over your decisions. When you're walking in God's ways, you can have that inner peace, that internal peace. But even when you walk in God's ways, there will still be things that happen outside. And sometimes they aren't peaceful at all. So you have eternal peace from God's salvation. We have internal peace when we're walking and following God's ways. But then we have external peace. And that's not always available. That's not always there. So walking in God's ways will naturally result in peace internally. However, following God's ways will not always result in external peace. That one's not included. The disciples were in their boats. Jesus was present. Not only that, more importantly, Jesus was the captain. He was the decision maker. He said, this is the direction, this is the destination. Here's what we're going to do, here's when we're going to do it. They were following Jesus. They had Jesus in their boats. They were obeying his direction, his timing, and still a storm came up. Still they encountered a storm. Please listen to this. Sometimes Jesus will lead you right into the middle of a storm. This does not go against him being called Prince of Peace. Because I know some of you are thinking, you know, that just doesn't sound like the Prince of Peace. If he's going to lead me into a storm, how can he do that and still be called the Prince of Peace? Jesus is still your Prince of Peace. He's still your source of peace. Sometimes he leads us into storms. And sometimes those storms are the direct result of following Jesus. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, do not suppose that I've come to bring peace to the earth. Key word there. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Notice he says peace to the earth. He's still our Prince of Peace. He still brings peace to those who place their faith in him, who trust in him. He still brings peace to those who fall underneath his security blanket, underneath his structure of a relationship between he and God and you. He's still your Prince of Peace, but he's not going to bring peace to the earth. The gospel message is a message of peace for us, for those of us who are saved. But it is offensive to those who don't accept it. And that's going to cause turmoil. That's going to cause fighting. Jesus continues. He describes this. He says, for I've come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Notice it doesn't say a son-in-law against his mother-in-law. That just happens naturally. I've got a good relationship with my mother-in-law. Finally. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Some of you guys are thinking, Jesus is looking into my life. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Jesus is making a strong distinction here. Anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. See, the message of the cross is polarizing. God has to be top priority. And if that's the case, people who don't agree with the message of the cross, they're not going to be happy with the things that you have to say. See, the gospel is offensive, not because God is rude. It's offensive because it's truth. And people don't like to hear truth. Even us, who call ourselves Christians, who call ourselves sons and daughters of God, we don't like it when the Bible says we're faulty. when it says that we need to change, that we need to adjust something in our lives to be better, because that insinuates there might be something wrong with me. We don't like that. But there is something wrong with me. There is something wrong with you. And there's always going to be something wrong with us when we're in the light of God's word. There's always going to be some way that we can be better. And it's offensive because it's calling you to task. It's challenging you and where you are in your life. And the second that God's word stops being offensive to you, I would be very scared. Because it's at that point that God's word must not be convicting you of what you need to change in your life. God's word is offensive because it's truth. The gospel message, the message of Jesus, it is a message of acceptance. Now hear this, because these are two words that we've been using interchangeably a lot in our society, and they are not interchangeable when it comes to the gospel. The gospel is a message of acceptance, not a message of tolerance. There's a big difference. Jesus accepts you for who you are, but he's not going to tolerate your behavior. You're still saved. If you accept him as your savior, you still get to go to heaven, but he's still going to call you to task. He's still going to convict you of the things you're doing. He's not going to tolerate those things. He wasn't tolerant of those things when he was here on earth. He accepts. The gospel message is accepting, but it's not tolerant, and that's offensive. It's offensive because it means that you're on one side of the fence or the other. It takes away the gray. You're either a winner or you're a loser, and that's offensive, especially in this day and age of politically correctness where we don't want to have any losers, right? So we've got sports where we have sports now, sports. We're going to teach competitive spirit, and there's no losers. Everyone's a winner, which really means that everyone's tied, which means that there's no winner, so everyone's a loser. But the gospel message says that there is winners and there are losers. And the only way to be a winner is through Jesus Christ. That's it. That's offensive. The only way to be right, there's only one right way, and that's through Jesus. And that's not going to bring peace to the world around you, not a message like that. So don't be confused when Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And yet he brings the sword instead of peace. He's still your Prince of Peace. He still brings peace to your life because you're part of the kingdom. But that doesn't mean that he's the Prince of Peace for those outside the kingdom. In fact, if they stay outside the kingdom, it is quite the opposite what he is to them. So we pursue peace by following God's ways. And that brings peace inside of us, but it won't always result in peace around us. So through Jesus' salvation, we have eternal peace. Through following his ways, we have internal peace. But that doesn't always guarantee that we're going to have external peace. Now that makes sense. All of that's fairly logical. But what about the times when your world is crumbling around you and it's not because of the offensiveness of the gospel? It's not because of that. It's simply because we live in a fallen world and things are broken here. Our whole environment is broken, not just us. The whole creation is broken because of Adam and Eve's sin. And bad things just happen. Loved ones pass away. Spouses make bad choices. Companies have to make cutbacks. Someone who doesn't operate by your ethics or morals breaks into your house. Or your car. An unexpected health problem comes up out of nowhere. What about those times? Where's peace for those times? Is there peace available for those times? Absolutely. Jesus brings peace. Let's write this down. The peace Jesus gives isn't always understandable or explainable. It isn't always understandable or explainable. As the disciples watched Jesus stand up out of a dead sleep, which I think is amazing because I'm not a morning person. I mean, he was asleep in the boat. And I remember when I was in my traveling days on the bus, I'd lay out a camping blanket and a pillow in the middle of the aisle of the bus. And I loved it. I got the best sleep just rocking around on the bus and the smell of diesel, you know. Maybe the smell of diesel was helping. I don't know. But you know, Jesus is, he's asleep. Out of a dead sleep, I don't wake up, I don't spring out of, I'm sure this might come as a surprise to some of you. I don't spring out of the bed in the morning. I need to ease into my day a little bit. You know, if I drive too soon after waking up, that's dangerous. That's like, I could get a ticket. Jesus is in a dead sleep. And they wake him up. Jesus, 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 we're going to drown, we're all going to die, don't you care? And Jesus just, oh, peace. Be still. That's amazing. And everything goes calm. The waves start crushing against, stop crushing against the side of the boat and pouring into the boat. The waves, they die down. The wind dies down. Everything, it's a dead calm. And at that point, the disciples are standing there in awe, and they're even asking, who is this? Who is this guy? Even the wind and the waves listen to him. See, his peace is not always understandable. It's not always explainable. So Jesus, later in the gospel story, he tells his disciples right before his arrest in John's gospel that he does not give peace the way the world gives peace. He gives peace in a different way. Let's write this down. Jesus gives supernatural peace. It's not natural. That's why it's not explainable. It's not understandable. If you can imagine being one of the disciples and trying to explain what happened that day at sea. I'm telling you, he stood up and he said, peace be still. And it died. And they're like, well, maybe it wasn't that big of a storm. No, it was life-threatening. And then all of a sudden it was gone. Oh, maybe the weather shifted or the system, you know, or whatever. You know, no, it's just, I can't explain how it happened. But this is how it happened. Jesus gives supernatural peace and into our life's storms in such a way that sometimes, because of your relationship with God, because Jesus is there, he will give peace in your storm that you have no explanation for. No way of understanding how it came or where it, or you knew where it came from, but you don't know how it happened that you have peace in this storm. Philippians 4, 6, well actually verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, it goes beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Peace. Be still. Who needs that today? Who needs that in your life now? Who needs a Savior to step in with those words? Because I guarantee you, any storm you're dealing with, it has to listen to him. Because he is God. He is Lord. Come to Jesus. Find that peace. If he's in your boat, then you need to make sure he's the captain. Find peace. Hear those words from him today in your life.